Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Roland Mark standing in for Anthony Ra. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am good. And yourself, Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov to you as well. Lots to talk about this morning. Let's get an update before we start anything else on the situation in Miami. Israel, I believe, has sent support. They have arrived. Give us a sense of what's going on there.
Well, at the moment, rescue efforts continue. This is the collapsed Champlain building in Surfside in Miami, which was home to really an enormous amount of members of the Jewish community there, mainly from South America. I know that community quite well. It's a cohesive community, extremely, extremely close, extremely dedicated to each other and to Israel. We do know that 9 people have been confirmed dead and about 159 people still missing. And what is very interesting or adds to the tragedy is that last week somebody passed away from COVID, somebody who had a lot of family and friends in Puerto Rico, and many of them flew in for the funeral and were staying with family and friends in that building when it collapsed. Israel has sent 10 of our elite Pikud HaOref, that's a home front command rescue and search soldiers. They've gone along with Nachman Shai. He is the Minister of Diaspora Affairs. And last week we had dispatched with immediate effect United Hatzola, their psychotrauma counselors, really, really experts in this. But I think, you know, everybody looks to Israel at a time of disaster, how Israel will react, and we have reacted by sending Pikud HaOref. We are the only country that has sent in rescuers. We do know that there is another group from Mexico of Cadena. I know there's a Cadena in South Africa, a humanitarian group to assist, you know, with the trauma and to assist with giving the families what they need, helping to raise money. We know the community there is very active on the ground. The Chabad of Bell Harbor, WITSO in Florida, and various other groups are doing what they can for families of those who are missing. But yesterday, the delegation from Israel arrived, and it's just an extraordinary moment watching them walk onto the site. Nachman Shai is with them. He was interviewed on CNN. And what is interesting, because many people were asking, you know, is Israel there? Is Israel there? We did immediately put out an offer to come and help with rescue efforts. It took several days for the governor of Florida to accept it for no other reason than they've got the resources on the ground. And very, very moving account that I was told that one of the mayor of Bell Harbor, offered the Israeli delegation, you know, hotel rooms to stay in. And they said, no, we're here to do a mission. We will stay in our tents close to the site where we can work 24/7. So these are the updates right now. The families have been allowed close to the site. It's a time of absolute, absolute devastation.
There doesn't seem to be very much hope now of still finding survivors. Is that correct? Or is there still some chance that they can reach people who are still alive?
Well, speaking to members of the community there, I've been told that hope is fading fast. This was a particularly difficult Shabbat, as you can all imagine. And a lot of them spent time with the families. Most of them have family or friends or some connection to the Champlain Towers. And they spent the weekend trying to comfort loved ones, you know, help try and understand where their loved ones could have been. Just very, very difficult. But yeah, hope is fading fast.
Terrible, terrible story indeed. And at this stage, I imagine no further information around the cause of the collapse.
Well, there's a lot of conjecture. Some of the thoughts are that it could have been that the building was sinking. Some allegations I saw in the New York Post this morning that developers had paid people off so that nobody would know that there could be some extenuating circumstances. It does look like there's something structural and not terror-related, but I suppose that we will only find this out in the weeks and months to come. New York Post also reporting that the same group that investigated 9/11 may be called in to investigate this as well.
Yep, and we of course will continue to follow that story. The other one I wanted to try and understand is this Erdogan situation. He's resigned. He hasn't resigned. What has he resigned from? Why? He resigned before he was... What is going on?
Well, Gilad Erdogan is currently serving as both our ambassadors to the United Nations and to the United States. You know, he's really doing a double time there, Howard, like me this week.
But morning and afternoon show, absolutely.
Mornings and afternoons in stereo. That means both your ears. And he has apparently resigned or has intends to resign as ambassador to the United States while still holding his post as ambassador to the United Nations. And some say he's doing this before Bennett can fire him as ambassador to the United States. I don't think they can fire you as ambassador, but one of the concerns over the last 6 months was that a key ambassadorial and consular post had not been fulfilled, posts to places like Canada and France, very, very important posts. And also, why should Ambassador Erdogan have to do double duty at the UN and to the US? It's an enormous amount of work. So I think it's just a point of getting posts approved through the government and also helping him to maybe focus on one area instead of taking on all this massive responsibility as well.
All right, so nothing untoward at all going on here.
Is anything untoward? I think, you know, people right now, because the government is very fresh and you are looking where they can jump on areas to criticize, but I think some things are just pretty much straightforward.
Sometimes they just are what they are. Our next story isn't what it isn't or isn't what it was, and we're back to a diplomatic spat brewing with Poland. We've been down this road once or twice before. What is going on now?
Oh, well, this looks like it could be getting serious, Howard. So Poland, like Germany, over the years has been giving restitution to Holocaust survivors for what families had lost during the Shoah. We know that other countries in Europe have done the same. We're all familiar with the situation with artworks, property that belonged to Jews murdered in the Shoah to be returned to their families. Now, Poland over, I'd say the last year or so, have moved towards the right, but not only that, is that there is this growing sentiment within the Polish government to absolve Poland of any responsibility for their role in the Shoah. Poland says that it was carried out by Germans or Nazis on Polish soil. However, many of us who've studied or are familiar with the Shoah know about Polish complicity, just like we know of Lithuanian complicity, and that's another country that's trying to distance itself from any responsibility for murderous acts carried out against Jews during the Holocaust. Well, Poland have put a draft bill in their parliament, which was discussed the other day, saying that they will no longer be giving any kind of restitution, financial or otherwise, to survivors of the Holocaust. And our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, who is extremely outspoken, he said that this is an absolute travesty of justice. This is absolutely untenable. You know, Poland cannot ignore its role during the Shoah. Well, things got hairy yesterday, Howard. We had a mutual summoning of ambassadors. We summoned the Polish ambassador to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for a dressing down and an explanation on our side. in Warsaw, they summoned our chargé d'affaires. We don't have an ambassador there at the moment, and gave a dressing down. But where it gets extremely, extremely, extremely hairy, my grammar's not that good this early in the morning,
don't worry,
is that the Polish government said not one zloty will go towards Israel. Israel wants the money. Now, of course, that kind of language.
Says so somebody who says that we've never been anti-Semitic, right? But you're all about the money, Howard. Jews.
Never. We're definitely not complicit
Let me prove the point that you're making by being an anti-Semite, right?
Exactly. Must be that anti-Zionism, not anti-Semitism again, Howard.
I always get them mixed up.
Well, this was said, which, as you can imagine, fired up Yair Lapid even more, who responded with calling it exactly what it is, and that is anti-Semitism. And it looks like we could see some serious words and some serious tension brewing over Poland and Israel and the issue of restitution. And this comes at a time where the Netherlands are investigating 3,000 artworks so that they can return them to their Jewish heirs and various Jewish groups.
It's just incredible the length that they are going to try and disassociate themselves. The interesting thing is, if they just took responsibility for their role, and obviously no one is saying that they were the masterminds behind the Holocaust. I don't believe that's ever been an accusation that's made. But just to own their own behavior and their own actions during the Holocaust, nobody would blame them or judge them today for what happened back then. That is what I find so interesting. And if you look at Israel's relationship with Germany today, It's an incredibly positive relationship because of the recognition, and Germany was responsible and they did own it. And then we move forward.
Well, this is it exactly. You know, we've got countries like the Ukraine, Lithuania, Poland and others where members of society and legislators at the time were complicit. Were complicit in ensuring that the Shoah was carried out. And, you know, nobody's saying, Poland, you as a country are responsible. But as you've just correctly said, we want them to say, you know what, during the Shoah, we did nothing to protect our Jewish communities. There were Poles that yes, were also rounded up and put into camps, but there were also Poles that were complicit, just like in the Ukraine, just like in Lithuania. And it's becoming a problem. It's this horrific almost trend of Holocaust revisionism that we're seeing in certain countries in Europe.
Jenny asking a question, and it is focusing on the money, which I don't really want to do, but it's an interesting question nevertheless. She says, with most Holocaust survivors having passed away who are very old, who would the restitution even be paid to? Are they meant to go to their children and grandchildren?
It's in some cases it goes to their heirs, their families, and in some cases it goes to the community. It goes to revitalizing the communities that were lost.
Really, really interesting, and so terribly contentious for very little reason. Before I let you go, we've got a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you about the Palestinian protests. What is going on? Is there a media blackout? Because I'm not seeing this anywhere.
There seems to be. You know, it's very, very interesting how this is not getting the coverage that it deserves. If it wasn't for Arab-Israeli journalist Khaled Abu Tawmeh, we wouldn't know what is going on. It looks like the blackout is coming from the Palestinian side, which is no great surprise there, and probably one of the reasons why there are protests. But we still have, for several days in succession, these anti-Abbas protests happening in Ramallah, saying Abbas must leave. But what is also happening that is not being reported on, and something that, if you are on social media, please make sure that it gets sets out is that the Palestinian Authority security forces are using force against protesters. Over the weekend, four female journalists were beaten by PA security forces. You know, if there's ever an issue in Israel, you can be sure the New York Times, Human Rights Watch, all of them are pouncing all over this. Here you have Palestinian Authority security forces beating protesters, and everything is silent. But one of the issues could be is that it would appear that Hamas are egging on protesters to try and push out Abbas and Fatah, which also presents a massive problem for the region and especially for us in Israel. So we have a very, very interesting turn of affairs happening here where we should be giving coverage, but we can ascertain that the reason that there's maybe no coverage is that all it does is it empowers Hamas. But where does it leave the victims who are being beaten in these protests?
Crazy situation indeed. It is about to go 8 o'clock. Rolene Marks, we'll catch you tomorrow morning at the same time.